Hey, listeners, welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. Today, Amy Harris and I are talking about her three-day-long hospital induction and a lot of the tips and tricks she used to make sure she could still have a fairly low intervention and pain med-free birth. And then she's going to compare her first birth, that birth, to her second birth, which was a home birth, and how different care providers in different situations can make a huge difference. Here's a sneak peek, so stick around.
When you're in a hospital setting, a lot of times when you're there, they're just going to spit things out at you. And if you don't know what to advocate for and what options you have, you kind of just fall into that path and just lead down the rabbit trail. And that's just not what I wanted.
Hi, I'm Rachel Manns, owner of The Natural Birth Site and this podcast, The Natural Birth Talk. Here, you'll learn all about different natural aspects of birth, pregnancy, and postpartum. Remember, none of this information should take the place of a care provider and is not medical advice. Birth is not a medical emergency. Thanks for listening. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Natural Birth Talk. I'm your host, Rachel, and today I am here with Amy Harris, and she is going to tell us all about how to say no if you're having a birth in a hospital setting, how to stand up for your rights. And we're also going to compare and contrast her hospital birth with her home birth. But before we really get into that, I want to let Amy introduce herself.
Hey, I'm Amy. Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah.
Well, I am a mom of two, and I'm actually expecting my third baby. I'm right at 6 months pregnant. So that's been really exciting. Just keep adding to our family.
Yeah.
So, my first birth, like you said, was a hospital birth. And that just really opened my eyes to how the birth world is in the hospital setting. It just kind of made me realize that I didn't really want that for my next birth, which led me to research and learn a lot more. So that's kind of what I like to share about, is just learning to advocate for yourself in whatever birth setting you are in.
Yes. And I'm so excited about this. I was just telling Amy that I was at a birth a few days ago, and it was supposed to be a home birth, and she had to go to the hospital for high blood pressure. And she just did such an amazing job standing up for what she still wanted. And by the end of her birth, she said, "This was everything I wanted other than the location." And unfortunately, that's not how it always goes in the hospital. Exactly. But if you advocate for yourself, if you practice saying no ahead of time and kind of are aware of your rights ahead of time, it can make all the difference. And so that's what I want to talk about today. So if you don't mind, we can just kind of jump right in wherever you want to start with your first pregnancy or birth, however that.
Okay.
Wherever the spirit leads you.
Yes. Okay. Awesome. My first, when I got pregnant on my first child, I really had no background in birth. I never really researched a lot on birth. I mean, I just kind of knew what my mom and my family members did for birth. And that was really the strict mainstream hospital birth, do whatever the doctor said, kind of set up. And I just went into it kind of thinking that. And then I remember being at a couple of visits and my OB asking me some certain questions, and like, do you want an epidural? Are you going to be okay if we need to induce early? And I remember just being like, this just doesn't sit right with me. So that just jump-started me to start researching other options. And so I sought out a doula, which was the best decision I ever made. So if you are like wanting to kind of take a different route and you are going to be in a hospital setting, I definitely recommend a doula, as you know.
Of course.
Yes. We had an amazing doula, and she went to a couple of visits with me and just was there through the pregnancy and sent me tons of research articles to look into. She sent me tons of information on spinning babies to help me get our son into the optimal position so that we wouldn't have to go into the cascade of interventions when we were at a hospital. Cause she just warned me that when you're in a hospital setting, a lot of times when you're there, they're just going to spit things out at you. And if you don't know what to advocate for and what options you have, you kind of just fall into that path and just lead down the rabbit trail. And that's just not what I wanted. So
of course. And I think
a lot of research.
I think most moms in America, unfortunately, start their pregnancies where you started.
Yes.
Where they didn't know anything. They just kind of were taught to just do what the doctor says and go with the flow. And it is shocking and amazing to us when we realize that we do have options and we do have choices. And I just love that your doula opened your eyes to that.
It was amazing. And I'm so thankful we had her for what was to come within the birth. But so I pretty much knew I didn't want extra interventions. I didn't want tons of extra cervical checks. We actually had a small scare at 36 weeks. They told me my fluid was low and that we needed to induce that day. And I was like, wait, what?
Whoa.
Let me talk about this. It's like, this is my OB. And I had a great relationship with the OB.
That's good.
And she was like, well, things are just not looking good. Your baby, your fluid looks low. Baby's measuring a little small. And I was like, well, are you okay with inducing tonight? And I was like, no, I'm not okay with that. And right. I at least want to get a second opinion. So thankfully I knew to ask for that. And we were able to go to a different clinic and get a second opinion. And turns out the ultrasound was wrong. Like many ultrasound readings can be.
Yep, that happens. Ultrasounds are not exact. Yes. And people just don't realize that.
Uh-huh, exactly. So I'm so thankful I knew that. And that was actually one of the visits my doula was with me at. So it was just wonderful. A blessing in disguise that she was there and was able to talk through stuff with me. And we were able to not induce because that would have just been, who knows what would have happened at 36 weeks and induction that wasn't necessary.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could have been some serious NICU time. A lot could have gone awry.
So then I guess leading into the pregnancy, leading on to 40 weeks, 41 weeks, I think I was 41 weeks and one day I went in and went for another ultrasound. They were ultrasounding me like crazy. That was one thing I did not know much about in that pregnancy is that I could deny extra ultrasounds. I kind of just, now I know a lot more and have not done ultrasounds in these last two pregnancies. But at that time I didn't know. So just know you can choose if you want to have all those ultrasounds or not. So we were having one and again, the baby wasn't moving quite enough. It was kind of his lull time and I knew baby was okay. But at that point they kind of, it was 41 weeks, one day, we're going into a weekend. Doctor wasn't going to be on call. They're like, let's go ahead and induce you.
Of course they wanted to induce you.
Exactly.
Like, baby sleep. That's the thing. Ultrasounds, NSTs, like your babies sleep. And so sometimes they just don't move a whole lot because they're sleeping.
Exactly.
And you said like, doctor's not going to be on call over the weekend. Exactly. That does unfortunately motivate them to induce sometimes.
It does.
And I like what you said about how you felt like everything was okay.
Yes. I remember being like to my husband, I think he's fine. And my husband and mom were like, what? I mean, they were kind of they didn't really know, like they were kind of listening to the doctor and everything the doctor was telling us. And this is definitely something I would have changed differently if I went back to this birth. But basically I felt at peace, but no one else around me did. So I kind of just gave in and let them stop the induction, which pretty much put us into a cascade of the hospital interventions, but we were able to say no to a lot. So we did start the induction, but it was very, very slow. The hospital birth ended up being extremely long because I was not letting them just push things onto me. I wasn't letting them up Pitocin dosages. I wasn't letting them give me extra stuff to get things moving. So I didn't let them break my water. They wanted to break my water that first night.
Of course they did.
To get it going. And I was able to say no to a lot of that because I had my doula and knew some options I had, but it was just, once you get in the system of letting them start the induction, a lot of times it's really hard to say no to certain things.
Of course. Well, and they'll put the pressure on you sometimes. Yes. They'll come and ask you every hour or they'll come in, come in with some sort of reason why they think
they're in distress or something like that. Yeah.
So you said they were kind of trying to up Pitocin and you said, no, I don't want to do that. They were wanting to break your water. You said, no, you don't want to do that. Was there anything about like positioning and movements and things like that? I know that's so common that hospitals want to tell you to stay in bed or things like that.
Well, actually, no, I had a really great team of nurses that they let me bring in my birth ball and I did a lot of moving on it. And a couple of times baby's heart rate must have changed because I was on the birth ball moving and they ran in there racing. They was like, is everything okay? Are you okay? Like they kind of panicked because they're just like on guard with everything in that situation. But I did have a really good team of nurses. So that was a blessing. There are good nurses in hospital settings.
And nurses can make all the difference. Yes. And one thing I do want to add here is that if you are not getting along with your nurse, or your nurse is not supporting your plan, you can ask for a new one.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, thankfully we didn't have to, but
that's wonderful. That's great.
But yeah, they did ask me to rest and they kept asking me, did I want sleeping medication to help me rest? I was like, no, I'm fine. I think I can rest. Like the contractions weren't miserable. I mean, they were Pitocin contractions, not God-made contractions. So they were more intense. Now comparing them to my last home birth, it was just a world of a difference between the contractions, but I was able to rest. We were actually there for 3 nights before baby was born, going through like the cascade of them wanting to do things and me rejecting and asking them to wait.
Isn't it crazy how your baby was fine the whole time?
Exactly. He was perfectly fine. Everything came out perfectly at the end, but he just wasn't ready. And they were just ready to get him on out. And And I knew, like looking back now, I know he probably wasn't in the perfect position to dilate me enough. And there were a couple times where they did check me and his head was tilted slightly differently. And my doula helped me do some positions to help us twist him around. And
wonderful.
Just looking back, I knew he wasn't ready then. And they were trying to force us. And thankfully I had the doula. Thankfully I had done lots of prior research knowing that this is my birth. Baby will come when he's ready. We've already kind of pushed him to come a little earlier than he wanted to, but we're still going to give him his time. I mean,
right. That's wonderful. So how did you say no to Pitocin?
Well, I didn't completely say
the schedule is usually they want to up it 2 milliunits every 30 minutes or whatever. How did you say no to that?
Well, basically they started me on the balloon, the cervical balloon, the Foley. Mm-hmm. And that really didn't do much to their liking. Because my body was still kind of biting it. I think it got me to like 3 centimeters in like 24 hours.
Okay.
So for that first 24 hours, there was no Pitocin, just the balloon. That was the initial induction.
Now did they decide to start you with the balloon or was that your choice?
I told them I didn't want to start with Pitocin and they were like, well, we have a less invasive option. Would you want to go this option? I was like, well, if I have to, I'll go with this option. That was kind of my choice to go the lesser of the lower of the two options. And then we were just hoping and praying that would kind of jumpstart my body to start the labor, but it didn't. So that is when within 24 hours, they did ask me about Pitocin and they were like, you're here. We can't just let you be on this balloon for forever. I mean, your body's got to start the labor. And they kind of just told me I needed to get on it. And again, I knew a lot, but I didn't know as much as I know now about effects of Pitocin and was okay with them starting on the lowest dosage. So I think I just told them, you can put me on it, but do not up it below the lowest dosage. I don't remember the milliliters or whatever you were saying, but I stayed on the lowest dosage and they would come back and be like, how are you feeling? I'm like, well, I'm having a few contractions, but nothing too major. They're like, well, that probably means we need to up it. I was like, no, I think we're good. So they pretty much just listened to what I asked. They could tell I knew what I wanted and they weren't going to try to like force anything that early. So for the next, I guess, day and a half, they kept asking and I just told them, no, we're going to leave it on the lowest dosage. And then at nighttime, I asked them to completely cut it off because I wanted to not have, like, I don't know. I just knew my body wasn't ready and it just needed some time. So at night, I asked them to completely cut it off so I could fully rest. My body wasn't doing anything on its own anyway, so we were just going to rest.
And they turned it off for you?
They did. They did.
So did they try to tell you no?
They did try. They did try. And I was just, my doula was like, well, she doesn't want it. We're we'll just pick back up tomorrow with a low dose and just hope her body kicks in. So that's kind of how it went for those first 2 days.
It sounds like your confidence was the key. Between you and your doula being on the same page, and then your confidence was the key. You know, they tried to tell you had to do these things. And I think so many women walk in and they say, well, you have to do this. And women get that perceived authority of their care provider. And they say, well, they said I had to. Okay, well, but if you go in there with confidence and you say, no, thank you, you know, ask the questions or just simply say no, they do have to listen to you.
Yeah.
They are required by law to listen to you. Now, I guess, you know, not everybody follows the law all the time, but your confidence was the key, which is amazing to me. So that was the first 2 days.
My husband has good support there too. Cause there was times that I was just like over it and really, and there was times I got really frustrated at the whole fact that we were even there. So thankfully my husband was a big help on that. I had told him, we had like tons and tons of research before going even into the labor that I was like going over with him. I was like, if this happens, this is what you have to say for me. If this happens. So he was really, really supportive too in that area and really helped letting the nurses know I did not want this and this. So,
and you researched ahead of time and then you kind of practiced and prepared.
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge key too, is being on the same page, practicing it ahead of time and going over it all ahead of time makes such a difference.
Exactly. Yes. Go ahead.
Nope. I want you to go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to get into actual birth part.
Perfect.
So the last day, I think finally I finally did let them up the Pitocin, not to full max because it was just, we were there. I was getting really tired. I was able to sleep, but I wasn't able to sleep like great. So my body was wearing out. We were going on like the whole birth was 77 hours from the first
I do have a quick question, actually. Okay. So when you asked them to turn off the Pitocin for you to sleep at night, did they still come in and check your vitals and stuff every hour or two? Or were you able to get them to relax on that?
I believe it wasn't every hour. They did come and do probably several a night. That's all kind of fuzzy.
Of course. All right.
Well, but they didn't let me rest the whole night. I do know that. It wasn't every hour though. But I guess finally the last day before I had him that evening, I think they upped the Pitocin to like half. Uh-huh. And at that point, I think my body was just like, okay, we're going to just give in and we're going to have this baby. I think it was just wearing down. And my mindset was like, we've got to have this baby or I'm going to end up having to get an epidural. I'm going to have it a C-section. We've got to get something going. So I did agree to up the Pitocin, I think to half level. It never went full. Mm-hmm. Like I was not letting them go all the way. And that picked things up. We thought we were going to have baby pretty quickly. Well, they probably thought we were because they were going to usually Pitocin makes you have a baby pretty quickly, especially if you up it all the way. But we didn't
sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. That was just kind of what they told me. They were like, if we up it all the way, you can probably have a baby pretty quick. If we get you an epidural, we can put it all the way up and then you can definitely have a baby soon. And I was like, well, I don't want an epidural.
Yeah. So they're trying to talk you into these things to make it easier for them.
Exactly. And they're like, you'll be a lot more relaxed. You'll be able to sleep. You'll be able to rest between contractions. If we get you an epidural, they didn't push it on me, but they definitely like presented the option and kind of made it look appealing and just kind of try to persuade me, but I knew I did not want that. That was one thing I was not going to say no to unless there was just an emergency and we had to do something.
Yeah.
So I guess finally my body picked up and there was a phase, like I mentioned earlier, where they checked me, baby's head was slightly tilted and they're like, look, I think your body is just worn out. And that was their last push for the epidural. And they were like, you've got to get some rest or you're not going to be able to push through the actual like hard part of the labor when you're actually pushing. And I remember my doula stepped out and her husband had met her and they went out and said a little prayer and they were like praying really hard that baby would move. And we had done some stuff with the Rebozo scarf. Is that I'm saying it right? Rebozo. Rebozo. I never know how to say it. She had done some stuff with me with that before she left. We had done some hip where they put, I can't remember all the names of it, the hip presses.
Hip squeezes.
We had done a lot of that to try to get baby to twist. And then we all just went into like deep prayer. Like there was like an hour where she went to meet her husband and was praying hard. And my husband and I were praying because like they pretty much told us that epidural was the next option because baby was not coming into proper position and they had to get him out quicker. They just kind of were guilting me again. But we all prayed. An hour passed. They came back. They actually called for the epidural. I had not actually like said I was okay with it, but they're like, we're going to go ahead and see if the anesthesiologist is on call. Cause now we're deep into the weekend now. We're like on Sunday. So like people are not all in the hospitals.
Yeah.
And they got him on call and they came back after the hour after we all had prayed. And I was able to kind of relax. I think my body was just like, we've got to relax here. And they checked me again. His head was in perfect position. They're like,
wonderful.
You can have this baby. And I remember my whole demeanor just changed. It was like this huge relief. I was going to be able to get out without having that epidural that they kept threatening. And things didn't immediately pick up, but within a couple of hours, my baby was born and perfectly fine after all the things that were threatened. So we were just, I remember being in the pushing phase and they were counting for me. One thing I remember them saying is, do you want to lay on your back? I was like, no, that's not how you give birth. We don't give birth on our back.
Wonderful.
And they were like, okay, well, we can get you this rope and you can do a squat position. I was like, thank you. That's awesome. They were very accommodating to what I wanted to do. Well, it turns out there was too much pressure in that position. So I did end up laying and then pulling against like a rope.
Oh, like a tug of war is what I call that.
I wasn't like flat on my back. I was able to kind of pull and like have resistance. So I was technically on my back, but not like the typical laid back.
Right. And not your like,
legs spread up high. Right. It wasn't like that. So they were very accommodating for that. When I just asked for it, I was like, is there another option you can give me? Can you give me something to pull? And they were very accommodating as I just knew to ask. But at one point I remember being like, I don't know when to push. And they were like, well, we're counting to 10 for you. And I was like, well, how did y'all know? And they're like, we don't know. We all had epidurals. So like the whole birth team, except my doula was there. They're very confident. She's like, your body will tell you when to push. And I didn't know anything about the fetal ejection reflex at that point, kind of how your body just kicks in. So I was trying to listen to them. And thankfully the doula was there to help me coach me. She was more of the coach than the nurses at that point, but baby came out. He was fine. It was a long birth. So we did have some like feeding and latch issues from all the traumatic birth he went through. But other than that, I'm just grateful that I knew to ask for certain things and say no to certain things. And I'm so beyond grateful I did have a doula.
That is such an amazing story, because a 3-day birth does not happen in the hospital. Like they don't want to allow that. They want to mm-hmm. push and they want to push and they want to push. Even if there's no medical reason, they're still pushing because they want you in and out. You know, yeah, exactly. it does come down to financial things and trainings as well. You know, if you're trained to think that that's not safe, you know, but yeah. you did your research. You did your research and you had a doula supporting you. So not only did you do your research, but you had someone else supporting it as well. You went over the research with your husband ahead of time so that you were all on the same page. You all were very clear about what you wanted. And then really, I think the most important aspect of all of this is that I know that you were praying throughout the process and you were trusting your God-given instincts. And for the listeners who don't believe in God-given instinct, there is still that intuition, that intuitive
that mother's part. Intuition. Yeah.
Yeah. That mother's intuition. And you were trusting that and you were listening to that, with the exception of, you know, okaying the induction, but even still, those keys are so important. It's the education, which, you know, not to, you know, plug my own class, but to plug my own class, I have the online childbirth, natural birth education course that teaches you all of the information you need to know. Education ahead of time and research is so important. And then having the support system, you went in there with confidence and you avoided intervention, and even you insisted on different birthing positions. And all of that, I think, just stems from the education research.
Exactly. Yes.
And, you know, intuition and prayer. Mm-hmm. So it's just so amazing that you were able to go through a 3-day birth in a hospital without an epidural, saying no to things and just doing it on your own terms. And it's just, you know, that truly is impressive, because that is hard to do in our hospital system.
Yes, it really is.
But clearly it's possible.
It is possible. You just have to kind of know and have, like you said, have the support from your team.
Hey everyone, Rachel Manns here, and today I have something I'm thrilled to share with you guys. Imagine having a treasure trove of informative, entertaining, and empowering video content about the journey to parenthood right at your fingertips. That's exactly what you get with Informed Pregnancy Plus. For less than 25 cents a day, that's a quarter, guys, you'll gain access to a vast subscription library filled with documentary films, web series, mind and body fitness programs, workshops, and courses covering fertility to parenting and everything in between. Designed for new and expectant parents, as well as pregnancy and birth professionals, Informed Pregnancy Plus is like having a trusted BFF and doctor in one, guiding you through every step of the path to and through parenthood. A few of just my favorite titles are obviously The Business of Being Born, Empowered Mama, Belly Dance for Birth, How Fun Is That?, Ease into Sleep, The Afterbirth Plan, and The Core Connection, an extremely well-presented and informative workshop teaching you about your core and pelvic floor and how to keep them healthy. And here's the best part. For a limited time, you can gain full access absolutely free. Just visit informedpregnancy.tv to sign up. Sign up for Informed Pregnancy Plus right now. I'm not kidding, guys. It's really going to help you out. It's my prescription for your informed and empowered parenting journey, all from the comfort of your home. Visit informedpregnancy.tv. That's informedpregnancy.tv, and the link will be in the description below. Now back to the show. Yes, I love it. And I really hope that that really helps motivate the listeners to do that research, to hire the doula, to talk about these things ahead of time and be on the same page, you know, and to go in there with confidence and exactly. to just practice trusting your instincts as well.
Yes.
It's all huge. I can keep repeating it, and I probably will, you know, say it again, because these are the most important parts.
Yes.
So you had that natural birth that, you know, was maybe a little traumatic, but also quite wonderful with the way you advocated for yourself and your baby. And you had that in the hospital, and then you had your second.
Exactly.
And you had a completely different birth. And I would love to compare and contrast if you don't mind.
Yes, not at all. Well, I didn't love the hospital birth, but I'm so grateful for it, because it taught me so much and taught me just that there are other options, because before that, I never even thought about home birth. I remember thinking that, I remember mentioning it to my husband before we had our last daughter, and he was like, "What? I didn't know people even did that anymore." Like, we, like, it was not talked about in our area. We didn't know anybody that ever had a home birth. Like, know anybody personally. At that point, I wasn't like listening to podcasts or watching YouTube videos with home birth. Now we listen and watch all the time. But at that point, it was like a totally different world to us. So my son's hospital birth like completely brought me into this side of birth. So I'm so thankful for that. I don't even know if I would be where I am now as far as birth if I hadn't had that experience in the hospital that led me to research even more and even more about home birth. That just spiraled the research of even more.
That's how I became a doula, honestly. Yeah. You know, like, I had that natural first birth where I was telling people no, I had given in to the epidural, unlike you.
Oh, goodness.
Well, I asked for it and then I had a baby too fast and I never got it, which I'm very grateful to God for. Yeah. But that is what led me to spiral and learn and become the doula and childbirth educator I am now.
Awesome.
So, you know, you can learn from these things. But
exactly. Yes.
Anyway. So,
that led me to look into home birth. We were also in the realm of all of the lockdowns and shutdowns in hospitals where doulas weren't even allowed. Mm-hmm. And my husband, I remember being like, well, if our doula can't be there, we have to have her. We've got to have a home birth.
Yeah.
Turns out she was having a baby and she couldn't even be at our next birth.
Oh, no.
That was one of his deciding factors of kind of getting my husband on board. So that just led us both to research home birth. And we both met with some midwives. We didn't have a lot of midwives in our area, so we pretty much only talked with two and then went with the better of the options and absolutely loved our midwife. And like I said, our doula was actually pregnant with her own child, so she was not even taking new clients around the time of my birth. So I was sad about that, but it ended up being a really fast birth and she probably wouldn't even have made it to our house. But
yeah,
that was kind of the deciding factor for my husband of we couldn't have a doula in the hospital. So we got to have a home birth.
I love how even he realized how important the doula was.
He did.
How he realized how huge that was. And advocating.
I didn't even go into all the counter pressure she did and the cold, the warm compresses in the hospital birth. And he was like, I could not, Amy, I could not have done that if we didn't have our doula. So he was beyond grateful for her. Like his
That's amazing.
Whole mind was changed about birth workers and birth in general, just having that doula in that hospital birth. So
I think that's kind of common. Honestly, like a lot of dads are kind of hesitant for the doulas, but then they get into it and they're like, oh my goodness, so grateful for you.
Without them. Yes. That's exactly how he was. So that led us to home birth. We met with our midwife. I mean, it was pretty much just everything was just so different. Like as far as the care, I mean, you have like 1 hour long visits and you just really get to know your midwife. And as compared to my first birth, I was with my OB for like 20 minutes.
Right.
And I did love my first OB, but again, it was just, she would always tell me their protocols and I would just, it wouldn't set well with me and I would just go research some more and be like, I just had to like constantly convince her of what I wanted. But with my midwife, it was so different in that pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And just, if I didn't want this test or this ultrasound, she was okay with it. She just gave me the research behind it. So I would be very well informed and it was just so much of a smoother pregnancy. And then leading into the birth, we were all expecting a very long labor again, just because that's all we knew. And my husband was asking the midwife, he was like, well, if this is a 3-day long labor, we're going to have some kind of bed set up for you. She was like, that's fine. Or I can get a hotel. It's no big deal. Like he was fully prepared for a long birth again.
Yeah.
And just because that's all we knew. I mean, again, we were in an induction and kind of forced baby to come a little sooner than he was ready, but we were still expecting it. Yeah. But anyway, I guess it was 41 weeks and it was 41. They were around the same time, 41.1 or 41.2. I can't remember the exact gestation, but around that time, my water broke at midnight on the dot.
Right.
And I remember just being like, this is weird because I didn't know what it felt like because the hospital birth, they kind of pricked it and let it trickle. Mm-hmm. But this time it was like a true water break. And like, I thought I was peeing myself and went to the bathroom and called the midwife. And again, we were still thinking it was going to be a longer labor. And she was like, okay, well, I'll come to your house at noon tomorrow and check you and just check you everything. We weren't going to do a lot of cervical checks. I'd already decided on that. And she was like, just keep me updated. Let me know how things go the next hours. And I was expecting my contractions not to really pick up at all yet. Because she kind of told me that sometimes contractions can take 12 hours after your water breaks to kind of pick up.
I love that she said that because if you, a hospital OB, most of them want you to come to the hospital and get induced as soon as your water breaks.
Yeah.
And so that was such a huge difference between, you know, hospital care and home birth care is usually home birth midwives. They're quite patient.
Yes, she was. And So I was just waiting. I was just going to go back to sleep and relax. And within 30 minutes, I had some contractions and I was like, wow, these are so much better than my last one. Because I remember like I had to have fans on me in my last hospital birth. I was so hot and nauseous to the contractions because they were those Pitocin induced contractions. And this time they were just so like people describe it. It's just like you could literally feel your body bringing baby down. So it was just so different, the contractions altogether. I was able to sleep peacefully through them. They picked up in their regular intervals. I mean, it was 10 minutes and then it was like 5 minutes and then just picked up just how birth is supposed to
gradually.
Go.
They gradually pick up. They gradually get more intense. They like wean you into the process.
Exactly. Your body just, it prepares you slowly and it just doesn't bam on you all at once. Kind of like Pitocin does.
Right.
So anyways, that was from midnight to 6 a.m. My son woke up. My husband woke up. I told them, updated them. And it was like, all of a sudden my family was up. My body was like, all right, it's go time. Everybody's up. My son was going to a little day sitter. So he would be taken care of because he was only 18 months at the time. My children are really close. So it was like once they were gone, my husband took him, made his way back. My body just picked up into gear. I immediately felt, at the time I didn't know I was already going through transition, but we were like 6 or 8 hours into labor and I was already going in transition, which was crazy for me because the last time it took me 3 days to get to transition and we were planning a home birth. The midwife had still not gotten there. It was kind of a really, really fast pace. We were planning a water birth. I don't know if I said home birth. I meant water birth. We were planning a water birth, but the midwife ended up not making it in time for the water birth to happen. The whole experience was just so much more peaceful. I was able to walk around the house. I was able to go to the bathroom. I was able to eat and drink as I wanted. I didn't mention that. The hospital was actually pretty lenient on letting me eat and drink.
Good.
Compared to a lot of hospitals, I told them, like, I'm going to be here a while. I've got to eat. A lot of hospital births won't let you eat a lot.
I always feed my clients anyway. I don't really care what the hospital policy says.
It was so nice not to have to fight to be able to eat because I was at home. Yes. I could eat what I wanted. So the midwife finally got here. I was well into about to have the baby. I was in the pushing phase already when she got here. She was literally only here for 20 minutes before baby was born. So from start to finish, it was 10 hours compared to that
amazing
3 day birth. Amazing. Just letting my body do what it needed. I had felt that fetal ejection. My body just did it. Nobody was counting for me. My midwife I remember a couple times I was like, do I need to push? She was like, because I knew that my body would do it, but I kind of like doubted it still, I guess, because I just hadn't experienced it. I mean, we know these things, but sometimes when you're in the moment, you kind of get a little skepticism there. And she was like, no, just let your just keep breathing. Your body's bringing baby down. And that's what I did. And
it was beautiful.
It was so much easier. I was on hands and knees this time. I wasn't on my back at all. And it was just
have to advocate, you know, And if the listeners want to see your birth, they can head over to your YouTube page or my YouTube channel. And I'll link that below for sure. And they can see the video of your beautiful, beautiful birth with your second. I just absolutely love it. It's amazing to go from a hospital birth where you really did have to advocate. And that, you know, really kind of was the point of this as a whole was, you know, here are examples of how you advocate for yourself in a hospital birth. And here's what you did. And here's some tips, you know, like hiring the doula, doing your research and getting education, trusting your instincts. Also understanding that, you know, ultrasounds are not totally accurate. I hadn't mentioned that yet, but just kind of knowing that just because your OB says it doesn't mean you can't go get a second opinion or doesn't necessarily mean it's evidence-based. And to go from doing an amazing job advocating for yourself in your first birth and really ultimately still getting most of what you wanted within a birth and then being able to go to a home birth where you don't even have to advocate for yourself.
Exactly. It was beautiful.
It's such a difference. So natural birth can happen in the hospital, especially if you're able to say no to things and follow all of the just wonderful tips and examples you've given us. But obviously it's a lot easier at home.
It is. It's so much easier and just so much more peaceful and relaxing.
Awesome. Is there like any little 30 seconds of anything you want to say before I finish the recording?
I just say, if you are looking at a hospital birth, just like we've said, know what you want before you go in there and just be so adamant and so confident about it.
Yeah. And still be kind. You obviously were very kind with it all as well. And that helps.
And that did help because they were much more willing to negotiate with me and work with me for what I wanted. And just be confident. Like you said, just go in there and know what you want. And if you can do a home birth, I definitely recommend that. If that's
or a birth center, birth center can you know, be that middle ground, but
it's just much less stressful, but it can be done in a hospital. It's just got to know what your facts before going in there.
Love it. And you have to prepare your mind.
Yes.
Prepare your body with the spinning babies and stuff too, and the exercises and movements, and then, you know, communicate and things like that. And I do teach all of that in my childbirth ed online class. Just to plug that one more time, shamelessly one more time. Amy, I absolutely adore your stories. I really hope the listeners head over to either your channel or mine and view your video with your home birth, because it is just beautiful and incredible. And I'm going to link all of that below. And I'm going to put some other resources below as well, like spinning babies and some other things you've mentioned, doula match. Babies. So I so appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. And listeners, like I said, check out that description below. And you can always email me at contact@thenaturalbirthsite.com if you have any questions. But I will talk to you guys in the next episode. Thanks for listening. Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to this podcast and head over to my site, thenaturalbirthsite.com, to check out my blog, shop, email list, and YouTube channel. Thanks. Hi, Rachel Manns again. If you want to learn more, please subscribe to and rate this podcast and head over to thenaturalbirthsite.com to check out our online natural birth education course, birth story blog, YouTube channel, and more.